Welcome to The Savage Truth with Cicely Davis. I am your host, Cicely Davis.
Welcome back, American Savages, to The Savage Truth. I am your host, Cicely Davis, ecstatic to have you join me for yet another episode. Episode 111, so wonderful numbers, one of my favorites. Maybe it's prophetic, you know? I am ecstatic to have you join me. For those of you who have been watching me, been joining the show, and enjoying the show, thank you so very much for coming back and enjoying and allowing me to speak into your life and to hear my perspective on what's going on here. For those of you who are brand new, you picked a superior episode to join. I know I say that all the time, and I mean it every single time. Thank you so very much for joining me. I appreciate your support. Now, whether you are, you know, have been joining me for a while or just now joining me, I have an ask, and it is this: to like, share, subscribe, and leave a positive review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. As we get into this week's haps or last week haps, we got to cover it all. We have to cover it on the show and tell the savage truth. Now, I brought a guest with me. Okay. You've seen him before and he's back again because I enjoy him personally, but also because, you know what? He's actually just very, very convenient. And you seem to like him. Okay. My husband, Brad. Welcome.
I'm convenient. You're convenient Brad. That'll be my.
You're very convenient.
Thank you.
Yes. Yeah, I love having you.
It feels good.
I actually do enjoy having
you. It feels so good to be convenient.
We want to welcome Brad back to the show. It's actually fun to share the show with you. You know, I really do.
Well, I feel the same way.
Well,
it's fun to share the show with you.
All right. Thank you to share it on my show. All right. You know, seriously though, Brad, all the talk last week, of course, was surrounding President Trump's concession speech to Congress, of course. And, you know, we really...
Well, half of Congress.
Oh, look at you. See, this is why you're so fun. Yeah. Wow. Wow, great insight. Great insight.
I pick up on stuff like that.
Yeah, I need people to know that I'm married to someone who's smart and insightful, you know, and witty, you know, the way you think of things.
And convenient.
But, you know, I don't have the bandwidth yet to go live. Otherwise, I would have put a show out right after this, right after the concession speech. So that being said, I really don't want to beat a dead horse to death, right? This is what everyone's been talking about since last week. Obviously, Donald Trump had his speech was a resounding success for him. Right. Absolutely. Applause deserved for the Republican Party and a resounding success, I would say, for the American people. Right. I mean, just a few tidbits about the speech is what we're going to go over. Again, we don't want to dwell on it too much. Everyone's talked about it and we will move on to other headlines. But first off, let's start off like this.
Members of the United States Congress, thank you very much. And to my fellow citizens, America is back.
America is back. What a perfect way to start out that speech. Were you not excited? I just exploded.
I thought it was just brilliant. I thought, you know, he did what he does best and he just spoke right to the American people. So yeah. it was really fun to see.
Now, I know I've been saying it and I really truly mean it genuinely. And I'm going to continue to say it because I believe in this presidency and this cabinet. I believe in Vice President Vance and what he's doing, but I mean, this is Donald Trump is clearly on a fast track to get America back, to replenish American society, to replenish its greatness, and to live up to that standard of American exceptionalism.
Well, he understands the sense of urgency that is needed. Like, where have we been for 4 years? We don't have 4 years to make this happen.
He's got
to make it happen now. He knows that. He is has put himself in a sense of urgency for America, and we are just plowing through this.
We're back. I believe that, Brad. I've said this. This is a spreadsheet president, right? He's thinking transactionally. He's thinking about the American people, and he really doesn't have 4 years. He has a short period of time to make a huge comeback, to bring America back from the brink of where we were, to get us solidified and then to take us into the future.
Yeah, we probably figure he's going to take maybe 6 months to put everything in order, and we're going to ride out another, yeah, you know, almost 3.5 years of probably success. And that's really what his sense of urgency is about. It's not to spend all this time. You know, they took 4 years destroying the country. He's going to take a few months to put it back together. And then we're going to have prosperity for another probably almost nearly 3.5 years.
Yeah. So. And then into the future, he's thinking about the future. This is what I get a sense that Donald Trump isn't just thinking about himself. He's literally trying to lay the bricks, the foundation for the Republican Party by draining the swamp and clearing the weeds to have the Republican Party move into its next set. Identity set for the next generation to take over, right? He's laying down this fantastic foundation. And I, for one, am really excited about the fact that we are actually winning the culture war here in America. It's actually not cool to hate Donald Trump, right?
No,
it's no longer cool to hate Donald Trump. It's not cool to make fun of him. It's absolutely fun to be an American again.
Well, it's backfiring on the Democrats. Their hatred, their outright hatred for Donald Trump is actually backfiring on them, because it's not just a hatred for Donald Trump. It's showing that their true hatred is for America.
Yeah. And it's the American people.
And the American people. There is a disdain towards the American people. Like again, I've said it before, but the joke was on us.
Yeah.
That's what it's been. These people have been in positions of power, and the joke has been on us because they've been stealing our money, and it's time that we put it back to work for the American people.
Yeah, that speech was so brilliantly executed. He maneuvered well. He accomplished everything he set out to do. First and foremost, he skillfully laid out the extraordinary accomplishments of his first week, 6 weeks in office, by signing executive orders that delivered on key promises, such as, you know, cutting regulations, advancing job creation here and setting that foundation, the securing of the border. Trump demonstrated a level of leadership and decisiveness that the American people have been yearning for, right? This is what we missed. These early victories were not just political wins, though, Brad. They were tangible results that really, truly improved the lives of everyday Americans, reinforcing the president's commitment to making the country great again.
Well, the first step should be, and I think he's accomplishing that, is to bring pride back.
Yeah.
You know, bringing American pride back. And I think that, you know, is that the rest economically, we will see the winds coming as they go along. But we have to instill pride among the American people first.
Agreed.
To move forward.
Agreed.
You know, it's not just about the dollars and where they are, whether eggs are, you know, it's about having, we, you know, the price of eggs. We have to just move forward in the way we feel about our country again, because we've been lost for so many years.
Yeah. I've heard people make really kind of loosey goosey statements that, oh, I was never worried with Biden, Joe Biden in office. You can't break a democracy or lose it in 4 years. And you can't certainly get it back in another four. And I totally and completely disagree with that whole entire sentiment. We were on the verge of literally losing everything that defines us as Americans and the global leader, right? Democracy was at risk. Our constitutional republic was at risk. And it was an existential threat having Joe Biden and his administration in office for the last 4 years. And again, I agree with you that at the top of Donald Trump's list is reinstilling American pride, reminding us as to why we should be prideful, right? That we have everything in this country to be proud of.
Absolutely.
It's been really great. So, you know what? President Trump's speech, his presence, his accomplished list for the first 6 weeks, literally into a corner of true nature that Democrats was exposed, right? He painted them into, he pushed them into this corner. And then, they just behave so badly. Obviously, you know, it's more than badly, right?
If you can't tell who the Democrats are by looking at them. I mean, this is if you watched it, did you see the Democrats? I mean, that the lady with the purple hair.
Yeah.
Explain that to me, please.
Yeah.
Somebody, who is that? What is that? Who voted her into office? That's what Democrats look like. What about, you know, we've got the Green, was that his name?
No, Al Green. Yeah.
Yeah, Al Green. It looks like a pimp with his cane. And you know, and you've got to
like
wonder
Scrooge
like
McDuck shaking
and,
his
I love the fact that he's now trying to defend it, like, well, they were discriminating against me because I'm black. Well, you couldn't just accept your own behavior, that your behavior was out of order. And no, it's not about that. It's not about my behavior. Yeah. It's about that. If you watch those Democrats and you're a Democrat, you would have to look at that and go, how do I identify myself like this? How do I identify myself with them? They're not for America. They're not for Americans. And it was so obvious that night that it was actually, it's sad. It was actually sad. Agreed. Because, you know, you can remember back, you know, years ago when there wasn't this political divide, where it wasn't so polarizing, where it wasn't literally demonstrated so obviously that you could see this difference. And it's just sad to watch that, you know, these people.
I agree. I wasn't even angry. I just thought they looked so pathetic. I actually wasn't angry. I wasn't angered by their behavior. I actually just felt ashamed. I cringed at their behavior, right? And
It was cringe.
It was cringe.
And it didn't get better.
No.
And the thing was, when it was all said and done, the cringiness was only beginning.
Yeah, yeah. I know. They didn't stand for the national anthem. I mean, this was not partisan. They didn't stand, or they couldn't clap for Americans. And rather than responding with reasoned oppositions, Democrat responded with bitterness. They responded with obstruction and spite, clearly showing
their faces were written like, we have to sit here and scowl. That's what we're going to do. We're going to sit here and scowl and hold up our little auction signs. And that's what we're going to do. That's our plan. That's what we've got. We're going to show how ugly we truly are as human beings. That's really what I think they were trying to say.
I just think it's so shameful that they were willing to show their willingness to put political gamesmanship over well-being of the American people.
And there have to be some decent Democrats in there somewhere. I mean, somewhere in there are good Democrats that really actually still care about this country. I do believe that. I just don't. I think they've been so outvoiced and so pushed into this grouping by the squad and some of the
far left
that they're afraid to speak.
Yeah.
And I hope that as time goes on, that they will find a voice, because it's okay to disagree. We wouldn't want everybody to agree on everything. We need there to be some differences, but it can't be this. What we're seeing is not American. This is not what's in the best interest of the American people.
I personally hope they continue to behave this way, because that makes the midterms real easy and simple for us. You know, their reactions simply prove just how out of touch and tone deaf they are with the needs and concerns of the average American voter. Right. And their attempt to resist Trump at every turn. And that's what this was really all about. The Democrats inadvertently showcased their own weakness and vulnerability, leaving them at an extreme disadvantage. And that is what I'm actually celebrating. They became a party that was defined by opposition for the sake of opposition. Right? No vision, no solutions, and no way forward. Here, speaking of Al Green, let's show that clip right now.
Al Green, here we go.
Mr. Green, take your seat. Take your seat, sir. Take your seat. Find it that members continue to engage in willful and concerted disruption of proper decorum. The chair now directs the sergeant-at-arms to restore order. Remove this gentleman from the chamber.
That's how the speech got started, right? And you couldn't
even
hear.
Didn't he used to do Geico commercials? Wasn't that him?
Stop.
He did that caveman.
You know, you'd mentioned something, Brad, and you should talk about it, how Trump actually called for peace.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. Well, you know, he did call for peace.
Yeah.
And you know, clearly we didn't get peace. You know, he did call out. And I think it was this fact that no matter what he does, it will never be enough. And I saw Bill Maher, I believe it was, that made a comment. And while Bill Maher has been, you know, fairly in the middle on this one, he said, well, I think Donald Trump would said that, you know, he wasn't, no matter what he did, no one would appreciate it. And he said evidently he didn't get enough hugs when he was a young, when he was a child. But that wasn't the point. What Donald Trump was actually doing was asking, he was trying to say, let's move forward as Americans. It really wasn't about him. It is about America. This is the part that people are missing. They're misunderstanding, misquoting him, and are constantly getting the vision wrong, because the vision is supposed to be for the American people. And Donald Trump clearly said that in his opening statement.
You know what? Donald Trump actually called for peace. Here's that clip right now.
This is my fifth such speech to Congress. And once again, I look at the Democrats in front of me, and I realize there is absolutely nothing I can say to make them happy or to make them stand or smile or applaud. Nothing I can do. So, Democrats sitting before me, for just this one night, why not join us in celebrating so many incredible wins for America? For the good of our nation, let's work together and let's truly make America great again.
Now, in the end, in the very end of this, the Democrats' behavior revealed the true price of hatred and blind partisanship. Consumed by their disdain, their hatred, their disgust for President Trump, they lost all sense of rationality and common sense. Their vitriol and their unhinged reactions, even to the most reasonable policy proposals, demonstrated just how deeply hatred can cloud judgment, right? Making them incapable of being objective. They were incapable of being relatable or even reasonable. And instead of presenting themselves as a party of ideas and solutions, they put their hatred and their contempt on full display for the entire world to see, every American to see. Their refusal to acknowledge President Trump's clear successes in the last 6 weeks and their ability to engage in constructive dialogue, their divisive rhetoric served as a reminder that hatred not only blinds, but ultimately handicaps a political party. That's what we saw on display, leaving it incapable of serving the American people. They put it out there.
Well,
there's no denying it.
And there is no denying it, but I don't think it's one thing to be incapable of serving the American people. It's another thing to have no intention of serving the American people. And I think that's what I saw demonstrated. I think they have no intention of serving the American people.
They're not interested.
They are so afraid of Doge and Elon Musk and the digging that's going on there. But I think we really are seeing something. So, but yeah, you get the Democrats that are like, oh my God, look at what they got to get. Elon Musk is in there. He's going to, you know, have access to all this information, and that's going to hurt the American people. No, it's not going to hurt the American people. It's going to bring money back to the American people. So we have two people in office. We have President Trump. We have Elon Musk, who's accepting no money.
He doesn't need it.
And they don't want the money. They're not doing this for the money. They're doing it totally to save America and bring it back from what Democratic control has done to it.
You know what? Can you state that statement you read somewhere that if you made
I think it was $500,000 a day from the time Christ was born to now, you would still not have as much money as Elon Musk has.
So he's not doing it for other to take people's Social Security checks.
Yeah, you'd be like roughly, I think, just a little less than $100 million.
He doesn't need the money.
No.
Okay. He's not doing it for the money. He doesn't need
They're doing it for you. They're doing it for Americans.
I want to close on this, Brad. I want to go into the next, but I want to just say that I think that what people are forgetting and have forgotten or seem to forget that I want to keep people mindful of is that's my money. It's our money. That is the American people's money. It's not like there's this pile in these several buckets and they get to decide what to do for it in our best interest. That's literally our money, American people's money.
We have a right. Wasting. Yeah, we absolutely. It's something that's been forgotten. It really has. I don't know how obvious, you know, sometimes the most obvious truths are sometimes missed, but it is. It's our money. It comes from our taxes. We have an absolute right to know where our money is being spent, and we have a right to have a voice in where our money is being spent.
Absolutely.
And it's like, if we're not asking for it, then, you know, that's a problem.
Yeah. And you know what? Nobody can tell me how to spend my money better than I can. Well, maybe you. Sometimes. Sometimes. Well, you certainly try.
Well, you know. I think there's another. Oh, there's a knock at the door. I think there was another pair of shoes being delivered.
Oh, look at that. Aren't you fun? You know what we should do? Let's have Rick play a fast track reminder of Democrats. And this is just simply to keep the American people remindful, okay, in remembrance for the upcoming midterms in 2028 presidential election. I will never, ever allow them to forget this. Go ahead and play it, Rick.
And we have ended weaponized government where, as an example, a sitting president is allowed to viciously prosecute his political opponent, like me. How did that work out? Not too good. Not too good. I renamed the Gulf of Mexico the Gulf of America. We've ended the tyranny of so-called diversity, equity, and inclusion policies all across the entire federal government and indeed the private sector and our military. And our country will be woke no longer. Since taking office, my administration has launched the most sweeping border and immigration crackdown in American history, and we quickly achieved the lowest numbers of illegal border crossers ever recorded. Thank you. The media and our friends in the Democrat Party kept saying we needed new legislation, we must have legislation to secure the border. But it turned out that all we really needed was a new president.
We have been on an amazing winning streak since November 5th.
It's been so much fun to watch.
It's been fun to watch. It's been fun being American again.
Moving so fast. It's like, how do you keep up with it?
Yeah. Sounds like Democrats have gone from Obama phones to Abrams refrigerators.
Yeah, well.
Okay. So $2 billion dollars of that $20 billion, okay, that was parked at this bank outside of government towards the end of the Biden administration. We all heard about that. Power Forward Communities, which Stacey Abrams was a part of, only received $100 in 2023. Apparently, they were so bad that they only received $100 in 2023, but received $2 billion dollars the following year.
Makes complete sense.
2024. Wow. Now, that is growth and increase.
Well, I'm thinking if you couldn't really manage the $100, well, how are you going to manage $2 billion? Like, yeah. you got left is $100. Maybe you started with $150 and you couldn't, you got like $100 left and then we get $2 billion. Go ahead, manage that.
Yeah.
See what you can do.
Yeah.
Well, I think if you broke it down, it came out to per house that she was able to buy this electronic appliance for. Now, it was about $117 million per household. But I don't want to, admittedly, we have to be, as Republicans, to be fair, we have to say that there was a savings that came along with this. And it averaged out to, I think, just less than $100 a month for the people that were able to get it. So they saved maybe $1,000, $1,200 a year at the cost of about $117 million.
Their household.
Yeah, that seems reasonable.
Well, that's Democrat math.
Couldn't we have just given him $1,000 instead? Let him keep the old refrigerator and give him $1,000. Give him $5,000.
We still would have come
ahead. And we still would have been way ahead.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you know what, Brad? Listen, this is...
Give him a block of ice.
Let me give the people the grant details. For those people who haven't heard about this, here are the grant agreement details that I want the viewers and listeners to know. So on the first page, it gives the organization, a nonprofit organization, it gave 21 days the government to distribute $2 billion. Now,
I think they should check Tracy Abrams' bank account.
Well, they should. Then
I got a feeling $1.5 billion.
There's more craziness to this, okay, surrounding this absurdity. Lee Zeldin of New York, okay, went to page 7 of the grant agreement, and the government gives this entity 90 days to complete a training called How to Develop a Budget.
Okay.
Now, I would have to say that if an organization needs to take a training on how to develop a budget. First, they shouldn't be taking the training at all. But at the very least, they shouldn't.
Sure as hell shouldn't take the money.
They shouldn't take a dollar, let alone $2 billion. I mean, this is Democrat math. Okay, this is what Elon Musk is exposing.
You literally can't make this stuff up.
No, you can't.
You can't. And yet there are Democrats out there that are somehow plotting this.
Absolutely.
I want to know, like, who are you?
Well,
like, I would love to know what Democrat is sitting at home going,
that
Tracy's really helping people.
Stacey.
She's really, Stacey Tracy, I don't even care what her name is. The lady with that big space between her teeth, that's all I know. You know what, but they should just, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah, keep up the good work there.
That's your money.
Trace Stacy.
Remember that, it's your money. Matter of fact, you know what? She, of course, defended it. Let's hear her defense of the program and receiving the money.
In 2023 and 2024, I led a program called Vitalizing DeSoto. We worked in a tiny town in South Georgia to demonstrate that by replacing energy inefficient appliances with efficient appliances, you can lower your cost. And in fact, we accomplished that. For 75% of the community, they got appliances that are lowering their bills right now. We had one woman who saw her electric bill cut in half from $180 to $98. That's what we delivered. And based on that program, a coalition of organizations, famous organizations, came together and said to the EPA, if we can do this here, we can do this for millions more Americans. Let us invest the money of America in lowering the cost for Americans. And the EPA said, okay, great, go for it. And they then granted those dollars to this coalition of organizations who came together bringing 250 years and $100 billion worth of experience to doing this project. What they are angry about is that it's going to work because we know it can work. And in fact, the hypocrisy is that just today, the EPA quietly released funds for one portion of this program, $7 billion, where $100 million of that will go to West Virginia for solar projects. Another $60 million will go to Alaska for solar projects. They know this works. They know it will reduce cost. They are angry about the fact that it is Democrats who know how to serve the American people and lower their prices. They know that they are about to cost Americans money and that those of us willing to deliver results must be shut down before people notice.
You know, Brad, when I listen to her defending that program, I think it's very clear and becoming more and more clear to the American people that a lot of people view government as a place to grift, you know, to get in and reward your friends, reward yourself, you know, fund your pet projects and things like that at the expense of the American people. Mm-hmm. And people are just, once they see that, they will grow tired and they will vote accordingly.
Well, when you stop asking questions, mm-hmm. when the American people quit asking questions of, you know, their political appointees, yeah. then, you know what, we have a problem. And yeah. and eventually, because they start, they just take more. Well, nobody asked, nobody checked, we'll take more. And I think that's what we've got here. You know, yeah. it's like they literally think you're stupid. I mean, that's what they think.
Absolutely.
You think you're stupid. And in all fairness, Democrats, so do I. So it's like, if you're not asking, you think this is okay, we've got to get on board. Everybody, Americans, Democrats, Republicans, we've got to get on board.
Everyone.
And we've got to look at this and demand accountability and to know where our money is going.
Absolutely. Which is why I think that's why this presidency, that run, was called the podcast election, because people stopped trusting legacy media and they started to research and they wanted to hear the truth. They were seeking truth because they wanted to go to that ballot box and make a good decision so that they can get out of this rut, right?
Yeah, we're always constantly making excuses for these people too.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know what, I don't know who Stacey Abrams is as a person. I don't know. All I know is these stories that I hear or what I see, and we know those to be facts.
Yeah.
But I know that it's not right. No one could say that it's right. If you imagine it to be your own business or your own household, how would you feel if that's what was going on within your own household? Somebody was spending all of the money that you had on their pet projects while you had nothing to to pay your rent with,
and you're struggling. Children.
So how would you feel about that?
Vehicle. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's so sad. I mean, it's, but we fall into these stories and think, oh, they're just doing good. And, you know, it's kind of like falling into the story too, that Hunter Biden is an artist.
Yeah.
You know, isn't it weird that he hasn't been able to sell a painting since.
Or put any artwork
he
out.
He hasn't been, he has not sold a painting since his dad left office.
He hasn't put any work out either.
You know, that's weird. It's weird because I thought he was just budding artist.
Maybe he's on a lull for his creative streak.
I don't know.
Let's give him a benefit of doubt.
But there was a lot of Democrats out there that defended Hunter Biden.
Yes.
And that he was just, he's out there. He's recovering. He's learning how instead of, you know.
Yeah.
Instead of doing blow, he's blowing paint.
There you go.
You know, with a straw. And, you know, so.
You keep that hand to mouth.
He's got, still got. And so it's still, you know, but they believed it. Oh, yeah, he's an artist. Really?
Oh,
yeah, sure he is.
And
Stacey Abrams cares about the American people, too.
And as a result of all this, the approval rating of the Democrat Party is at an all-time low, Brad. Listen to this.
31%.
31%. Wow.
That was probably from CNN. So, you know, it's probably about 12.
So, Brad, not sure if you've heard or had your eyes open or live in the United States. Maybe, you know, I'm not sure if you did. Perhaps your entire life or as normal, rational, common sense human being. Not sure if you've lived that way or not. But the Democrat Party is struggling.
I wonder why.
You know,
why.
It's struggling. Their approval rating is at an all-time low, 31%, according to the Quinnipiac poll. And now here's Van Jones. Van Jones of CNN. Okay, so you can't say that I'm taking it from some, you know, partisan Fox News or somewhere else. Or this is Van Jones of CNN explaining it all. Let's watch him and listen to him.
Let's.
Look, man, we're screwed. I mean, we don't know. No, Democrats don't know what to do. This is a nightmare. You know, somebody like Donald Trump, we thought we'd at least have, you know, Hakeem Jeffries in the speaker's chair to hold him back if we didn't have Kamala in there to do the right thing. Listen, the Democratic Party is going through a massive set of internal crises. You have a party that got trapped two ways. One, defending a broken status quo that nobody likes. Because they thought that Donald Trump was going to make it worse. But when you're defending the status quo, you're going to lose. And then offending most people in the country, calling everybody sexist and racist and transphobic and every other name, and then saying, please follow us. That's not a good strategy, folks. Defending a broken status quo and offending most of the country, turns out, is not as popular as my party thought it was going to be.
Okay. Now, he talks about how you can't, as a party, attack the American people and then turn around and ask them to vote for you. He said, apparently that's a bad, you know, that's not a great strategy for our party. And I would have to say, how insightful. Who would have thought?
Isn't there something like says, don't bite the hand that feeds you? Isn't that like some kind of, didn't somebody say that one time? I believe I heard that when I was a little kid.
Well, there are talks now because they are struggling so much. They have a message issue. Right. They are struggling to relate to the American people. And there are talks that they are now looking to find that someone, that superstar, to be the voice, to be the face, to be the new, you know, star of the Democrat Party.
It's not Hunter.
It's not Hunter.
Yeah.
You know, they laid that down. So yeah. I've heard
weird.
Michelle Obama.
Oh,
Oprah.
So beautiful.
Mark Cuban.
Oh, Mark Cuban. He's a fun guy. Boy, he's fun to listen to. He would really energize the Democratic Party. If there wasn't enough despair in the Democratic Party, I'm sure they would find it with that arrogant gentleman.
Yes, there are talks to find a new leader who can lead the party out of despair and back in the favor in the hearts of the American people and in the lead of the culture war here in America.
Do you remember when Mark Cuban insulted the Dairy Queen workers and then had to go? I mean, he's not a nice guy.
It's not.
Let's just put it that way.
He's not
a people person.
Not likable.
He's not really likable.
Like you.
Not likable like me. Ew, he's not.
You're likable.
I'm likable.
The Democrat Party is currently struggling with its messaging and image because it has become increasingly disconnected from the American people and their needs and their concerns.
Yeah, convenient. I'm likable and convenient.
You are.
Yeah.
And instead of focusing on solutions that resonate with every citizen, right, the party has become fixated on obstructionism and partisanship in opposition to Donald Trump. That's all their focus is.
It's all they have.
It's all they have.
And this is the part with the Democratic Party right now. They have nowhere else to turn because they don't have anything. You know what they have? They have, they have the illegal alien situation. They got like, there's like probably 3.5 illegal aliens. So they can reach out to them, try to get them legalized to vote. And then they've got the LGBT group, kind of the transgender, got another 1% there. If they turn their backs on that, what do they have left?
Well,
nothing.
That and here's where they're failing, because I'm glad you brought that up. There was a time where Republicans were really struggling because we felt like it was tough to win the abortion argument, you know, pro-life, pro-choice argument. And we were on the losing end of that when it comes to humanitarianism and arguing that point. But now the tables have turned and there are two 80-20 issues for Americans, whether you're Republican, Democrat, independent, or anyone in between. And it is illegal immigration and boys and men's and girls and women's sports. Mm-hmm. These are 80-20 issues that 80% of Americans simply don't want it. And this is what they're losing on. And they're going to die on that hill, because you're right. If they lay down their cards and try to, you know, come up with a new game plan, they have nothing.
No, because you got to remember that, you know, 70% of the American voting public voted for Donald Trump.
Correct.
So what do they have? What do they have left once they take what do they have left?
Yeah.
And if they keep on the path they're going, they're going to lose more and more. And, you know, it is. They've forgotten about the American people. And so they've stuck to these outliers that are kind of that. And they look at them as the fact that they're more demonstrative. They can manipulate them to get out and kind of move into demonstration groups. I mean, look at what's happening with the Elon Musk thing, where they're attacking and graffitiing and going into his dealerships and raising havoc. That's all they have. They have those types of people. They could get them out during the George Floyd riots, and they could get them to destroy cities, and they can get them. They're looking at all the groups that actually just get out and demonstrate, but that doesn't represent the whole of the American public. And I don't understand what they're doing. I understand what they're doing. I just think it's ridiculous. And I think that anybody that supports that is equally ridiculous.
Yeah.
I think you've forgotten who you are.
The Democrats, their constant negative rhetoric combined with the lack of coherent policy proposals has left them unable to effectively communicate a vision that appeals to a broad spectrum of voters. Furthermore, the party's obsession with identity politics and cancel culture and extreme left-wing agendas has alienated moderate Democrats and independents, making them appear out of touch with the mainstream values of America. And as a result, the Democrats are seen as a party consumed by division and driven by hatred rather than a party that genuinely wants to improve the lives of Americans. This is self-destructive, and the approach is literally eroding their credibility and making it increasingly difficult for them to present themselves as a viable alternative to the Republican Party, right? So much left to be seen. I think that, you know, again, they're really going to try to just die on this hill. They won't let it go, but it's an 80-20 issue. And right now they can't figure out a message and they can't find a way to be relatable. And I think that moderate Democrats or real true Democrats versus the left, there's going to have to be some real infighting to split that party up to figure out what they're going to do and who they're going to be for come midterms.
Well, if they want to be relatable, the first thing they should do is hold up a mirror and look at it, you know, look at the mirror and really ask themselves who they are as Americans, because some of them are absolutely ridiculous. They don't represent what America even is or looks like. And, you know, you want to be different, that's fine. But then they go out on these things and they do that video. You don't have it, but it was the video, the cringy video that the part of the squad AOC, I think, organized it, where they were like, pick your fighter. And these congressmen or women were jumping out and act they were like, you know, going to be the fighters. And they were jumping in the air and doing all. It was so ridiculous and so silly. And this is the part that they're not real. It's not real.
Yeah.
It's fake.
Yeah.
All of this is fake. It's a put on. It's not real. And they look ridiculous because they're not genuine about it, which is the difference between that and what's so refreshing about Donald Trump. Because what you see is what you get.
Love it. Love it. Love it. So, you know what? Much to be seen. Way to go, Donald Trump. you know what? It's great to be an American right now. And I'm all for the amendments. I'm all for the Declaration of Independence. I'm all about that red, white, and blue. And it feels good to be on the winning side. Thank you so very much for joining us. To make sure to please like, share, subscribe, and leave a positive review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. And remember, as always,
to be bold, be strong, be faithful, be true.
Till next time, I'm Cicely.
And I'm Convenient.
The Savage Truth with Cicely Davis is a production of Front Page Magazine and the David Horowitz Freedom Center. Reproduction of this podcast without express written consent is prohibited.